We're reading today Bamidbar chapter 24. We have to go back a little bit to the beginning, to end of the previous chapter. As we've discussed, we're up to the third time where Balak and Bilam are trying the same thing. He took him to a third place, Reish HaPa'ir, from where he can see some of the people. It doesn't actually say some of the people. It says that he could see the people. Wait. It doesn't say that he could see them at all. It says Anishkava Pnei Hashemayim. So interesting. Before, until now, there was places where he could see some of the people. Here, apparently, he could see the people, as we'll see. It says fairly clearly that he saw the people. Maybe from here, he could see everyone. Maybe this is a higher mountain or a higher peak where he could see everyone. And they do their same process with their seven altars, their seven karbonas. They do all of that. And now, there's a change. One would expect from the previous two times that Bilam goes and does his process, his meditations, his seek tricks in order to get the nevuah, but he doesn't do that, and that's where this chapter starts. Bilam saw, he already learned his lesson. And this is also similar to like all this third times and all of them. The third time he already realized. He saw in the third time that Hashem is good in the eyes of Hashem. Hashem wants to bless the people, he doesn't want to curse them. So he doesn't even try. He doesn't even try to do as he's done the time and the time before to go lekras nechoshem, which is the nachash, right? That's the nachash that he tried to do. Apparently that was a way of him trying to get a prophecy, and apparently also had a way of trying to get a prophecy that will be bad somehow for the people. He doesn't try. And he turns his face to the desert, which is the direction in which he can see the people. He raises his eyes and he sees the people. He sees the Yisrael Sheikh and the Shvatim. He sees them camping, each with their Shvatim. And Rechalim is on him. So now he has the prophecy that he's tried to get other times and other ways. He has it also directly now. Sometimes I think that maybe the seeing, the Yisrael Sheikh and the Shvatav itself, give him the inspiration here for his prophecy. And in some sense, we'll see that he talks about it. So he starts like this. He raises his Pravayisa, mashallah. He starts his prophecy, his proverb, his poetry, and this is what he says. Now again, it's different than the previous two times. The previous two times, it started with Balak. It started with praising Balak, with the greatness of Balak, the king of Moab, who asked him to do this thing. Here he already knows that he's not going to get what he asked. So he starts with himself. In this prophecy, and in the last one, the fourth one, he does not start with presenting Balak, he starts with presenting himself. And he starts in the style of poetry, says, this is the words of Bilam, the son of Ba'ur, also the Hagever Shesumu'ayin, the man of something with his eye. I would imagine that this is something about his having a good eye, although usually many Mefarshim read it as Shesumu'ayin, meaning something like Melashon Stima, like a closed eye or covered eye, but that would be weird because he's should be praising himself. So it must be some verb that somehow means that he has open eyes, that he has good eyes, that he can see well, he can see the future, he can see the reality and so on. And then he repeats himself and he says, these are the words of the one who hears the words of God, Imra'el, and not only hears, but also sees. So that's interpreting the Shesuma Ayin, I think. He sees Mechaz HaShaddai, he sees the vision of God, Shaddai being a poetic word for God, it's almost only used in poetry. He falls and his eyes are open, his eyes are revealed. So Noifel might be a definition, a description of prophecy where people fall and somehow prophesize in that kind of bodily state, or something like the vision falling on him. And what he describes is exactly what he's seeing. He saw Yisrael Sheikh Leshvatav and describes the Yisrael, the camp of the people, and he says, Matoivu Olech Yaakov, how good are your tents, Yaakov, your dwellings, Mishkinesecha Yisrael, again, the doubling of Yaakov Yisrael, and describes them with nature images. They're like Necholim, like streams, or maybe valleys, like a Nachal, like a Wadi, Nitoy, like moving, or it's turning and twisting, Kiganes Lenor, like gardens planted on a river. So there's this like image of a strong river, or something like being very lush or fertile, or something like that. And kahalim, like these trees called ahalim, like ahalim is a kind of tree that has a good smell, or kind of plant, not Hashem, that Hashem planted. This is something we have several times in Tanakh, gardens, or in other words, wild plants where there's beautiful trees or beautiful plants are considered Hashem, or nature, naturally, were planted there. Karozim, like strong arozim, Erez trees, alemaim, which are planted on the water. So again, they have a certain strength, a certain sustenance. They stay there. They're not moving. And now, as he's working with the water imagery, he says, Yizal maim edali, let his water drip or pour from his vessel, from his deli, and his zaroi, his children, his zera, which is also kind of water, like something comes out of him, the maim rab, in many waters. So in other words, so this stream of people coming out, they will go, and now he's talking already about the future, about the many children. So it's talking about the people having many children, they have these tents, and they're planted in history, in reality, in a very strong way, in a very powerful way, and they're multiplying. And then he describes their military or success of their kingdom, of their state. The Yoreh me'agag malka, his king will be higher than Agag, will win someone called Agag. The Sinasim al-Chisa, and his kingship will be raised. This is, of course, not very clear who is this Agag. Later we'll see, talks about Amalek very clearly. This might be a reference or a prophecy about Shaul, the first king of Israel, who killed Agag, the king of Amalek. And Amalek was said to be a very powerful king and a very powerful tribe. So it's a great praise to say that their king will be stronger than Agag. And as we see moment later, he's going to be explicitly talking about the future. Here he's not yet talking about the future, so it might be less clear that this is what it means. Maybe it means some other person called Agag, or maybe it should mean something like Viyurime Hagag Malka. Agag might mean something like a roof or being higher. His king is higher. In any case, it's a description of his kingdom, of his warriors and his kings being powerful and strong. And he goes back to discuss the story that this whole story started with, right? This is, again, sort of a repetition of what we started with. They went out of Mitzrayim. And again, he says, El Metzir Mitzrayim, his God took him out of Egypt. Again, he has these heights like this, this very powerful and beautiful, strong animal. And Yoichal Goyim Tzurevi eats. So eats, again, is an image for military conquest. He eats the nations who are Tzurev, who are his enemies. Vatzim Sem Yegorem, he breaks their bones. V'chitzav Yimchat, with his arrows, he destroys them, he smashes them. And again, the imagery of a lion, he lies down like a lion, and as like a lion again, who can make him stand up. In other words, when he decides to rest somewhere, when he decides to take over a place, to conquer somewhere, nobody can stand up like a lion. When his lion is laying, lions have this thing of being rovetz a lot, they lay, they stand and wait for their prey, and nobody's going to go and bother him. And now he finalizes with the sort of the main thing, those who bless you are blessed, and those who curse you are cursed. Of course, this is not only about like whoever talks blessings about you. It means whoever wants your good, whoever helps you, whoever is part of helping you. This is, of course, very explicitly the bracha that Avram was given, and also explicit reference to what Balak wanted. Balak wanted to curse him, and then said, well, if I will curse them, I will be cursed myself. I would rather bless them and be blessed himself, like he's finished earlier. I would love my power to be with these people. So now that this happened, so this is like the final win of the blessing of the Eden over Balak's plan to curse them. So Balak is really mad. Balak is really mad at Bilam. He claps his hands, which is an expression of anger. Interesting. And he tells Bilam, what's going on? I called you to curse my enemies, and you blessed them already three times. So therefore, it goes back all the way to his first thing. Remember, first time Bilam came to him, and second time he sent the messengers, he told them, look, I can honor you as much honor as you want. He says, well, how about now you run back to where you came from? You go back to where you came from. I've told you that I will honor you, but here Hashem has denied your honor, right? You're the one saying the whole time Hashem doesn't let. Okay, so look, you're not getting any honor because you're not doing what I hired you for one thing. I'm not going to pay you for doing the opposite of what I hired you. And Bilam answers the same exact thing that he keeps on answering. And in some sense, he might be saying, well, I do deserve still some honor, right? Because he's saying, I've already told you all the way back when their messengers came to me. I told you, Balak can give me his whole house of gold and silver. I still can't go against what Hashem says to do anything good or bad from my own heart, on my own part. I can't decide myself to do a blessing or a curse. I have to do it in prophecy. Whatever Hashem speaks, that's what I will speak. So you're being angry at me. It doesn't really make sense. You should be angry at Hashem, right? You shouldn't be angry at me and saying you won't honor me. You really should honor me because you've hired me as a prophet. This is the prophecy. What can I do? I didn't decide it. And now Bilam says, you know what? It's true that I will go back. He seems to maybe give up on getting paid. He goes back. He says, I will go back to my people. Let me tell you what this nation will do to your nation in Achres Yemim in later days. Everyone gets translated as the end of days. I don't think that is warranted by what the Pusuk says. Achres Yemim doesn't mean the last days. It's not like the world is going to end. What it means is not now, like he already started in the beginning. At the end of Le'ata, he's going to say that here clearly. Or in the beginning he said, my end should be like them. And the whole thing of a prophet is that he can see will happen in the future. Not necessarily today, tomorrow, in the longer term. So he's saying, I will tell you what will happen. You'll see, you think you started up with them. You're going to conquer them now. You're going to make a war. I will destroy them. I'll banish them from my land. This is not going to happen. The opposite is going to happen. They're going to banish you and all of your neighbors. And he describes in this prophecy the greatness of the kingdom of the Jews and how they conquer all their neighbors, including Moav, which is Balak's people. And he starts again. He starts a new prophecy, a new oracle, so to speak. And it starts again in the same way, the same exact six lines or three lines that he had before, just with one that was, I think, missing in the earlier one. It says, this is the words of Bilam, the son of Beor, the Gevesh Sama'ayin, the one who hears Imre Elvi, Adea Daselin. That's that part was missing before. Just Shed Shemea Imre El, Mechdesha Deyechze. Here it has the full verse, so to speak. He hears the words of God and he knows the knowledge of Elion. So El and Elion are two names for God. The El, the strong one, Elion, the higher one. People say also this was like literally names of, they called the God Elion or El. In any case, that's how it has to be read here, right? We say El Elion as if Elion is just a title of God. But it seems here that Elion is also sort of the name. He was referred directly as Elion because otherwise the parallelism doesn't work. He sees Mechze Shaddai, he sees the vision of Shaddai. Again, and he falls with his eyes open. And here he says, he talks about explicitly what will happen in the future. And I see him, not now. I see him, another way of saying see him. The Lord could have not close, or not right now, not today, maybe not tomorrow. But in the future, a star will come out, will direct itself out from Yaakov. It comes, shevet, again, Shevet means literally a stick, but a shevet, a group of people from Yisrael. And what he will do is destroy Muchatz Pasim Moav. He will smash the sides, the limits, the borders of Moav. Karkar, and also will destroy, some word that means something like destroy or smash or crumble. Kol b'nei Sheis, all children of Sheis, which it's interesting who Sheis here is. Moav, we know who it is. Sheis, we know the Adam has a son Sheis, but that doesn't seem to match here. Maybe there was some group of people, or maybe this is another way of saying Moav, I'm not sure. And then he talks about not only about Moav, because that would work for the parallelism, if Sheis, B'nai Sheis is a word that Moav called himself by. And then he says, and also Edom. Edom will be an inheritance, Yeresha, for Yisrael, obviously. Yeresha, Seir, Oivav, and Seir, which is another word for Edom. So again, Edom and Seir, just like this Yaakov and Yisrael, this Edom and Seir. And who are the enemies of the people? Remember, they tried to go through and Edom didn't let, right? In the future, Yisrael, Esechol, Yisrael will conquer, they will make power, they will be the winners. And v'yerd miYaakov, and a leader, a governor, will come out of Yaakov. V'hevet tzurid meir, will destroy what was left over from Ir. Ir again is the name of Moav. Maybe Ir Moav or Or might be also one of the ways that Moav itself was called. But maybe the word Ir, of course, means a town, a city. But also there was a city called Ir or Or, and might be similar. And he means that will destroy that. So that's what he talks about. Yisrael versus Moav and Edom, for sure, explicitly, whoever B'nai Sheisar. Now he talks about Amalek. The Yaris Amalek, so Bilam goes to watch Amalek, and V'yis HaMashal, and he raises his Mashal again, he says another oracle, and he says, Reish is Goyamal, the first nation of Amalek, so the first might mean the strongest. Of course, he was also the first to fight with Yisrael and Parshas B'Shalach all the way back, so might mean that. They once fell to Amalek, they lost somewhat that battle. V'achris Yadoev, in his end, he will be entirely lost, as his end tends towards being lost. And again, this is reinforces the point that Agag, what we've done before, this is talking about Shaul and later David, which won the battle with Amalek. And then there's Kaini. He sees Kaini. Now, Kaini was people who lived next to the area of Amalek. Of course, they mentioned also in Avraham Avinu's prophecy, V'esakaini, V'esakniz, V'esakadmoini. It's mentioned might be also connected with Yisra's children, might have been become part of this Kaini, not clear they were entirely Kaini. And it has like this, your place where you sit is strong, and you've put your, Kan means literally like your nest, like the place where you sit, the place where you belong, that you've put in a rack, in a strong rack, and that might be a description of like literally the places where they lived, which were high mountains or rocky places. And but this will also not last forever. In the same way as Amalek, that it's, you started off strongly, but in the end you will be destroyed. Ki'im, in the end, ye'levor, kain will be eaten up. Ve'ira is like another word of saying achla, right? They're destroyed, like v'shilach has be'ira, burnt, or not necessarily burnt, but destroyed, eaten up. Admo Asher Tishbek, until Asher will take you captive. So this is another name of a nation mentioned here. Asher apparently conquered these people called Kani in the end, and they destroyed them. The Yisrael Shel Aviyemar, and he has another, starts again his oracle, and he says, "Oy miyichya misimoy al." Who will live from when God does this? In other words, he's saying he's prophesying, seeing a bunch of destroy, a bunch of doom for all these nations. He says, "It's good that I'm not living there, right? Because who will live in those times?" This is the first one person who said something like we know from the Gemara. Yaisev leechmina. People prophets that see bad prophecies, they say like, "I don't really want to live to see this." But it will be woe to who will live to see this. And he continues to say to discuss apparently the next and one more conquest. So this is like a prophet looking into the future and seeing how all the nations that seem to be very strong, very well established and well defended borders and all of that, there's always an end to every empire. Everything happens in the end, everything falls and everything is taken over by the next one. And the Tzim Yad Kittim, there will be Tzim, apparently ships will come from Kittim. Kittim is islands, wherever that is, maybe Rhodes or Cyprus, some places where there's islands. And the Inu Asher, the Inu Evan, they will destroy, or they will torture, or they will afflict Asher and Ever. Asher being what we just discussed. Ever also, Ever Hanar, right? These are the Mesopotamian kingdoms. The Gamuyad Ever, he himself. So these Kittim, whoever they were, they might be. Some say that this is a reference to the Romans who came with ships over the Mediterranean and destroyed these empires, or someone else, Greeks, whoever it is. He will also be destroyed in the end. So this is him looking in the future and saying, "Oh, this empire takes over that one and that one, that one." And the end of the ever, they all get lost, all get destroyed. These are the end of Bilam's oracles, Bilam's prophecies. And he does what Balak said, told him, "Go back to your place." So he goes back to his place. And Balak also goes on his way, goes back home to where he came from, I guess.